today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Let's go to what's happening post the election, and we've got both the opposition leader and the premier travelling to the North Townsville, I think, today for the new minted opposition leader, and of course Premier David Chrissy fully yesterday. He's photographed there at the Townsville Police Station. Look, we'll get some updates from the gentleman who has finger on the pulse of all these developments, Associate Professor of Politics and Journalism, Griffith University, Dr. Paul Williams. Good morning, Paul. This is interesting. You've got yesterday David Chrissy fully there in Townsville. He's photographed talking to the local police officers. Today you've got the opposition leader. I mean, they were wiped out in Townsville. Talk to me about this. Why is Townsville very much the focus yesterday and today?
Well, Townsville is, I think I've used this expression before, Townsville's like the canary in the coal mine for regional Queensland. And even more generally, if Townsville is quite a volatile, those three Townsville seats will often go with the government. So they'll rise with a new party and fall with as the party goes out, you know, when the blue or red wave recedes, and that's what's happened this time. So if you're travelling well in the three Townsville seats, generally speaking, are travelling well in regional Queensland because they're swinging voters, they're volatile voters, they're easily made cranky. Like so much of regional Queensland, they suffer the brunt of economic downturn, probably more profoundly than other parts of Australia, given that they're heavily reliant on resources, for example. So you can take the state's temperature, at least regional Queensland's temperature, from Townsville. So if Labor continues to do badly in Townsville over the next 4 years, they're not going to win back government in 4 years. And we saw this with the Palaszczuk-led Labor opposition after 2015. Sorry, beg your pardon, I'll start again. 2012, when the Labor Party started its repair with Queensland in the regions. We see that both major parties often start their campaigns in Townsville. So that's exactly what Stephen Miles has said yesterday. He said that he's going to go to regional Queensland, particularly Townsville, and also seats like Mackay and Rocky, which have been Labor bastions, and ask voters, what did we do wrong? They're going to go on a listening tour. They didn't call it that, but that's what it'll be. And they're going to start repairing the damage as of today. So, you know, we live in a state of the continuous campaign. So a lot of listeners might be surprised, but the campaign for the unofficial campaign for the 2028 Queensland state election has kicked off.
Yes. This issue in Townsville, this embattled, they say here, embattled Townsville Mayor Troy Thompson, he's dug his heels in, he's refusing to budge, the councillors just ignore him and look the other way. David Crisafulli said this, it's just a dysfunctionality issue. Would you call it just a dysfunctionality issue for that council?
It's local government's a really tricky one, John, because it's not constitutionally arranged. It's obviously part of the Queensland Constitution, but not nationally. And local governments exist merely at the pleasure of a state government and a state government minister. Except for Brisbane City Council, of course, it has its own act. So Brisbane City Council can't be sacked by a local government minister. But the Townsville City Council could be sacked by a local government minister. And obviously, there's a lot of, even though it doesn't look like the mayor has the confidence of the Townsville Council, obviously the new premier is trying to, as Stephen Miles did, he's trying to tiptoe around this issue because it's a tricky path. You know, there are legal parameters involved about, you know, the people installed Troy as mayor and, you know, the bottom line for Westminster democracies, or any democracy really, is that if the people put you in, only the people can put you out.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it's very hard to kick out a member of parliament unless it's for something like sedition. And so we have plenty of members of parliament who are caught up in the most dreadful scandals, but the parliament has not expelled them as such. They wait for the next election until they're taken out. But on occasions, we've seen members of parliament, like we had one member of parliament in federal parliament way back in the 1920s who was expelled from the federal parliament for sedition. So that's the general principle. So a premier, a government will be very loath to act unless it's as a last resort to remove a duly elected mayor. So it's, you know, we're in very uncharted electoral and democratic and legal territory.
Let me take you to this one too. There's a whole lot of cynicism, and I don't blame people for being cynical about our crime situation and being promised that adult crime will bring adult time. Firstly, people are saying, well, where the hell are they going to be incarcerated? And how long is it going to take to get facilities built anyway? One in North Queensland, one in the south somewhere or other. And people are suggesting, well, that's at least a year and probably 2 years away. So there's no excitement about the introduction of this so-called adult time for adult crime policy. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's exactly, that's what I'm hearing as well, John. And I think we've had this discussion before in your program, that even, you know, conservative voters, conservative stakeholders were, you know, wanting action. But then when they didn't see a lot of policy flesh on those bones, or at least aspirations, I think they were really more than policies, as that the LNP took to the election. It only added to that frustration. Because, you know, I think most people want to see a crackdown on youth crime, but not if it means, you know, at a blank check in terms of how much it's going to cost. Nor do they want a facility built in their backyard, and they want to see some sort of KPI, some measures of, you know, well, what constitutes a success, what constitutes a failure. So voters are not deals. They've seen politicians promise miracles before, and miracles don't eventuate. So it's not surprising that voters would be a little bit sceptical of this. But we've got to give David Crisafulli a fair go. He did promise us 100 days, but he's only in his second week. So I think we'll all have to sit around and wait for this legislation, see what the legislation looks like. The Parliament will recall back for 2 days before Christmas. Personally, I think it might need more than 2 days. I think it'd be fair to give the Parliament more time to scrutinise these very important bills. The Parliament will come back. I think we'll just have to keep our powder dry until we see what the legislation actually looks like.
I've got to tell you, the anger here is just simmering. The weekend before this, we had 16 vehicles stolen in Cairns. Already this month, we're up to 19 vehicles stolen here in Cairns, 680 already for the year. So you can imagine the mood here and the urgency we see in getting something done about it. So it's going to stay an issue for this newly minted Premier for some time. Can I just mention too, the seat of Mulgrave, in fact I was talking to Terry James yesterday, the former Cairns Mayor, looks like he's steadily holding on to that lead now. So that's interesting. So it looks like the LNP will hold three of those four local seats.
Yes, that was certainly one in the undecided column. That doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me, as I think I've said before, is that the fact that, you know, the Catters didn't do nearly as well as expected.
No.
Labor was always in trouble, the loss of that name. So that doesn't surprise me. The LNP has done well to take that seat, if in fact it falls that way. I think there's a couple of seats that would probably leave two seats in doubt, I think. Obviously doesn't affect the LNP's majority, low 50s, but I think they'll be, you know, still quietly disappointed they didn't get into the 60s. As David Crisafulli said, he's going to have to keep a tight rein in his ministers. He's going to set a high standard for his ministers because it's only a majority of about, what are we looking, 5 or 6 seats, which could easily be eroded away, you know, within 4 years. So, you know, it's going to be a government that's it's going to be held to account, because it's not a very closely hung, a very closely aligned parliament or divided parliament, but there'll still be 30 odd Labor MPs holding the government to account. Yes. So, you know, it's going to be a pretty well fought out, pretty gritty 4 years, I would have thought, pretty testy 4 years.
Excellent update as always. Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
That's Dr. Paul Williams, the Associate Professor in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University.